I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, as the U.S. debates same-sex marriage, Uganda moves in the opposite direction. Although homosexuality is already illegal in that country, the parliament there is considering new legislation that would impose even harsher penalties in some cases. But we ask, did a group of American evangelicals who visited the country earlier this year play a role? We'll ask one of the men who made that trip in just a few minutes. But first, our weekly political chat. While many Americans will be opening gifts and sitting down to holiday dinners next week, U.S. senators might be sitting on the Senate floor. That's if their leaders follow through on threats to hold the health care vote on Christmas Eve or even Christmas Day. It's all part of a high-stakes negotiation to meet the president's challenge to pass a health care bill by Christmas. But Senate Republicans have been balking, employing delaying tactics like having the bill read in its entirety on the Senate floor. But the bigger issue may be among the Democrats, who are still divided over key provisions, and every one of their votes is needed to pass a bill. Now, much attention has been focused on conservatives who say the bill is too expensive and doesn't do enough to restrict abortion funding. But every vote is needed, so we decided to call a senator who has previously said he will not vote for a bill without a government-run option for the uninsured, the junior senator from Illinois, Roland Burris. We've also called a member of the congressional leadership, the House leadership, House Majority Whip James Clyburn. He represents South Carolina's 6th District for his perspective. I welcome you both. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us.
My pleasure, Michelle. Good to be with you.
Well, thank you, Senator. Senator, you've been with us before to talk about your perspective on the health care bill. And the last time you spoke with us, you were adamant that if this Senate overhaul bill did not contain a so-called public option, that would be a government-run health insurance program for people who do not have access to private insurance, you said you would not vote for the bill. You said it's time to do it. It's time to do it right. And it's time to do it for the benefit of those who are uninsured. It appears that a public option has now been taken out of this bill. Will you still vote for it?
Well, Michelle, my position has not changed. And, of course, I am still looking for the goals of the public option. And when you read the statement and all the statements that I made, you will see that I said the goals to me of a public option would be that it would have competition in the bill, there would be cost savings, and then the insurance companies would have accountability. My whole issue was to do something about the exorbitant rates that insurance companies are charging. And so it came up with this label, public option. But the key is competition, cost, and accountability. And so we're still in the process of scoring that bill, and I have not seen all the details. So I'll have to see what comes out of the final scoring and when we get the final package together.
But the Medicare buy-in option, which was proposed, has been apparently taken out. How is this this goal that you articulated being fulfilled?
Well, if you look at if we cover 31 million individuals and the cost would be going down, then there's certainly a possibility. And that's why I'm saying that I have to see the CBO's report in terms of where the cost is going to be. But we also must have competition. And, of course, when you got a competition, you're going into the exchanges. There are provisions in that bill that would limit insurances that to pay out 90% of their receipts. So you'll have that type of provisions in the legislation, which certainly could give my satisfaction if they're there.
So you're saying if the goals are achieved, even if it isn't called a public option, you would be satisfied?
That is correct. And we got hooked on this thing called a public option. My thing was we have to do something about reining in the insurance companies. That's the key.
Congressman,
if we don't do that, we won't be afford to have. We won't be able to afford health insurance in the next 4 or 5 years. Families will be devastated with the cost going up in insurance.
Congressman Clyburn, let's have your perspective. Do you feel that the bill is still alive? I understand that the action now is on the Senate side, but the House would play a role if the Senate does pass a bill. So can we just have your perspective on whether the bill is still alive?
Yes, Michelle. Thank you so much for having us on the show. Look, I have said from day one that the goals, as the senator just expressed, are to increase competition and decrease costs, build in accountability, and do something that will provide choice for the enrollee. Now, when you have those things, the label you put on it really will not matter all that much. And so I have never drawn a line in the sand on the so-called public option, because you may recall I was one of those who kept warning to be careful with this robust public option, because I did not feel at the time that it yielded what a lot of people thought it would yield. And so I believe that we should concentrate on getting those four things done and worry about the label later. I also believe that people have to keep in mind that the Senate is a very important body, but it's not the only body in town. We produced a real good product out of the House. And we still, no matter what the Senate comes up with, we've got to go to conference. And there will be a different product coming out of that conference than what the Senate sends to it. So all of this is still very much alive. And I do believe we can get a very good health care plan as a foundation to build upon. I will say to all of your listeners, let's be careful about drawing lines in the sand. I remember I was around back when we passed the Civil Rights Act of 1964, and that's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to come out with a big bill that will establish health care as a fundamental right for every American citizen. And when you do that, you are going to really bite off some real big chunks that will be tough to chew. So let's look at the Civil Rights Act, look at this as we looked at the Civil Rights Act in 64. A lot of people back then wanted voting rights to be a part of the Civil Rights Act of 64. In order to pass that bill, which outlawed discrimination in the private sector in employment, we had to rip voting rights out of it. And so we passed the bill in 64 without voting rights. But we came back 1 year later, and we passed the Civil Rights, the Voting Rights Act of 1965. We got employment discrimination outlawed in 64. We gave voting rights in 65. We outlawed discrimination in housing in 68. And we did not get employment to the public sector until 72. So let's pass a good, solid plan that will allow us to build a foundation to build upon.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're having our weekly political chat, and we're speaking with House Majority Whip James Clyburn. He represents South Carolina's 6th District. He's, of course, a Democrat. We're also speaking with Illinois Senator Roland Burris. Senator Burris, what about your former party chairman, Howard Dean? He says just scrap the whole thing and start over.
Michelle, it will be just totally irresponsible to kill the bill. And we've been working on this health care legislation for more than 97 years. And we've come further at this time than any other Congress in history. And I agree with President Obama when he says that there will not be another president that will work on the starter of a health care reform legislation. I agree with the congressman. And he is absolutely, positively correct. We have to go to the conference. That's the reason why, you know, I'm saying that I need to see what's coming out of even out of this corner of the CBO because, you know, and what we send over there, I'm hoping and praying that we will get a decent bill out of here. But that bill has to go to conference.
And you're saying the delay doesn't buy you anything. Are you willing to stay through Christmas if that's what it takes?
Well, that's my job. We have to be here on something this important. We're talking about insuring most of the 47 million Americans who don't have insurance. And then trying to reform the whole healthcare system, there's something in that bill for everybody, for women's rights, to taking out pre-existing conditions. All of those improvements will be in the base bill, and then we can improve on those later on. And that's what we must do. We have never come this far, Michelle, and therefore we cannot kill this legislation. I'm sorry, my distinguished former chairman and governor and Dr. Dean is not correct on this issue.
But before I let you go, we only have about a couple of minutes left. I wanted to ask each of you about the climate change talks going on in Copenhagen right now. The president spoke earlier today, and he didn't sound very encouraging. He said that while the reality of climate change is not in doubt, I have to be honest, as the world watches us today, I think our ability to take collective action is in doubt right now. So I'd like to ask each of you, in the last couple of minutes that we have left, do you think that an agreement is possible, and will you be very disappointed if there is not one? Senator Burris first, then I'll ask you, Mr. Clyburn.
Well, Michelle, I think that we'll have to see what we can get out of Copenhagen. I don't think that we're going to be able to get everything at this point either, and what we have to deal with, and is a very key issue, and that is global warming. It is key. It has to be dealt with. And I'm pretty sure what we're hoping to get out of there and what the president's hoping to do is to get a starter. I haven't followed all of it as to what his comments were, but I know we must do something about global warming.
Okay. Mr. Clyburn, a final thought from you? We have about a minute and a half.
Well, I do believe, as I believe with health care, if we can get something out of Copenhagen that can lay a foundation, it would be a signal to both China and the United States as to what direction they ought to be moving in. We have to be very, very careful because what this is big economic competition between China and the United States of America. So we cannot come up with a plan, as I think Robert Gibbs said the other day, it's best to leave there empty-handed than to have some kind of an empty proposal. We have to be very, very careful that we do not agree to something that will hamstring the American economy in such a way that China will eat our lunch, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And so I am hopeful that they'll do something. But I do believe that we can still continue here in the United States of America of building a green economy because I'm convinced that that is where the future is. And so we've got to do it irrespective of what comes out of Copenhagen.
We have to leave it there for now, and I thank you.
And there are a lot
of
jobs in the green economy, too, so that's another issue, those jobs that will come by. Thank you, Michelle.
Senator Roland Burris is the junior senator from Illinois. He's a Democrat. He was kind enough to join us from the studios on Capitol Hill. Congressman James Clyburn is the House Majority Whip. He also represents, of course, South Carolina's 6th Congressional District, and he joined us from his home office in Columbia, South Carolina. Gentlemen, I thank you both so much for speaking to us, and happy holidays to you both.
The same to you.
Happy holidays.
Thank you.
Thank you, and all your listeners.